Krishna chastises serpent, Kali. 9 to 11. Text number 9. The one in the board is 10. 10, so I read 9. Tam presanija sukumara ganavadattam Sri vatsapita vashanam smita sundarasyam Gridantana pritabhajam kamaladarangrim Sandasya marma surusa bhujaja chachada. Translation. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate. His attractive body, shining like a glowing white cloud, his chest bearing the mark of Srivatsa, his face smiling beautifully, and his feet resembling the whorl of a lotus flower. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously beat him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. Text number 10, and that we have in the board.
Tam nagaboga paribitan adrishta chestam. Alokya tat priya shaka pashupa brishartha. Krishner pitama surhiyartha kalatra kama. Dukha nushoka bhajamuda dijo nipetu. Tam naga bhoga paribita nadrishta chestam. Alokya tat priya shaka pashupa brishartha. Krishner pitatma surhi artha kalatra kama. Dukha nushoka bhajamuda dijo nipetu. Tam naga bhoga parivittam adrishta chestam. Alokya tat priya shaka pashupa brishartha. Krishner pitatma surhi artha kalatra kama. Dukha nushoka bhajamudha dijo nipetu.
Please chant. Anyone else? Ladies? Tam him naga, the serpent of the serpent, bhoga with the coils, parivitam envelop, adrishta chestam, not exhibiting any movement, alokya, seen that priyashakaha, his dear friends, pashupaha, the cowherds, brisha artaha, greatly disturbed, krishne, unto Lord Krishna, arpita, offer, atma, their very selves, suhrit, their relations, artha, wealth, kalatra, wives, kamaha, and all objects of desire, dukha, by pain, anushoka, remorse, bhaja, and fear, mudha, bewilder, dijaha, their intelligence, nipetu, they fell down. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the members of the cowherd community who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend saw him enveloped in the snake coils, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. They had offered Krishna everything, their very self, their families, their wealth, wives, and all pleasures. At the sight of the Lord in the clutches of the Kaliya snake, their intelligence become deranged by grief, lamentation, and fear, and thus they fell to the ground. Purport. Srila Sanatana Goswami explained that the cowherd boys, along with some cowherd men and farmers who happened to be in the vicinity and who were also devotees of Krishna, fell to the ground just like trees that had been cut at the root. And finally, text number 11.
Gabo brisha batsataria kandamana shudokita krishne niyaste kshanabita rudantya ivatashtire.
Translation: the cows, bulls, and female calf, in great distress, call out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they stool in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Uttare Srimate Rupaswami.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine.
Panchakalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
So first, welcome ladies, coming from Alachua, yes, traveling. Oh, anyway, welcome to Kishore Kishore Mandir. If any service you can, would be at your service. Thank you for being here. I have to replace the devotee who was supposed to give the class today, so sorry to have 2 days in sequence of giving the class. Yeah. These particular verses, the Vaishnavacharyas explained that Srila Sukadev Goswami is taking the position or sort of projecting the position or expressing the feelings from the perspective of the Vrijavasis who were observing the situation of Krishna being attacked by Kaliya. And the feeling to see the bewildering, in one sense, an inexplicable act of Kaliya, that even after seeing Krishna and the beauty of Krishna and the power of Krishna, Kaliya's reaction was to attack Krishna. So he was lamenting, or the expression of shock or lamentation or like, you know, how is this possible? Srila Sukadev Goswami is expressing. So the verse, you know, that set up this is this verse number 9 that says, I'll read it again. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore silken garments, was very delicate. His attracted body shining like a glowing white cloud. His chest bearing the mark of Srivatsa, he's smiling, his face is smiling beautifully, and his feet resembling the world of a lotus flower. So, Krishna's exquisite beauty, most attractive features, and Kaliya was seeing this when came in front of Krishna and was seeing Krishna's, was taking darshan of Krishna, basically. And then seeing that the Lord was basically playing fearlessly in the water, just by that particular activity that he defies Kaliya's power. Because Kaliya has poisoned the waters in such a extent that no life actually was possible in the surrounded areas of the lake, Kaliya Lake. So, but Krishna was fearlessly playing in the waters, splashing, and it is said, you know, that he was creating these beautiful sounds by splashing, musical sounds. So just by understanding the immense powers and capacity that Krishna had to be carelessly and playfully, without fear, just doing things in the water, Kaliya could conclude, oh, this is a very powerful and special personality that is so beautiful and so attractive that just by seeing Krishna face to face, one can assume, you know, that the person will immediately get attracted, fully attracted. Who can resist? Who can actually resist? This is from the perspective of the devotees. Like we were talking yesterday, when we come to a temple, and then we see the deities, immediately the devotee's heart just melts by the beauty of the deities. And it's regardless, whatever temple you go, Krishna, and you see the beauty, the worship, the devotion, and you see the beautiful features of the deities, immediately you become attracted and devotion arises. And you just stand there, just taking the sight and the beauty of the deities in prayer, in awe of the qualities of the deities. And you can explain that someone will come and feel rejection towards the deities. It's very difficult to understand what kind of process of what kind of consciousness is there to not being able to appreciate and feel the attraction towards the beauty of the deity. So similarly, Srila Sukadev Goswami is lamenting, is trying, despite of his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously beat him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. So in despite of witnessing this, he still, the reaction was this anger and this envy to attack and try to destroy Krishna. So that's the nature. Yesterday we were discussing, that in the last 2 days, Harisham class and yesterday, that Kaliya represents this envy, deceit, and cruelty. And all this becomes totally arise when Kaliya sees Krishna. And because of these qualities, then you cannot see. You cannot see. And the following verses describe how the Vrijavasis, the cowherd boys, the cowherd men, and the animals, the cows, reacted when they saw Krishna in such situation of being attacked by this powerful demon or serpent. And explains that the sight that they saw is that this verse number 10 is that Krishna was caught and he was motionless. Can you tell him to be quiet? So Krishna was motionless, caught by this serpent. And so he was motionless. So the appears that he was motionless out of fear or out of distress. So the Brijavasis just fainted, similar out of fear, anxiety, and all this. But actually, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals what Krishna was thinking. So actually Krishna was motionless, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, out of pride of his power, of his strength. And he's thinking, this rascal Kaliya is, trying to attack me and things like that and do all these things to me. But afterwards, I will show my powers and I will, chastise. So it was basically just... And then Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that Krishna was doing that, being motionless. These people, what? Tell them in... Okay. So... Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that Krishna was doing that to show the wives of Kaliya that how wicked this fellow was and why he needs to be chastised and drawn out, kicked out of Vrindavan. So to display Kaliya's wickedness and faults to the wives. So Krishna remained motionless. However, for the Brijavasis, they just die just to see Krishna in that situation. So the point that I like to discuss a little bit in the class is going a little further on this thing of Kaliya not being able to see, not being able to appreciate Krishna. And the name that Srila Sukadev Goswami uses for Kaliya in text number 8, see, is very interesting. Is Chakshu Shrava. Chakshu Shrava. So Chakshu means eye and Shrava means hearing. So Chakshu Shrava means someone who hears through seeing. So basically, that's the prevalent way in which the materialistic people or materially conditioned people functions. It is explained that actually I do, when I teach the kids music, then one of the things that I teach them is that don't look. You know, usually in a way of training how to properly play instruments, I tell them to close their eyes and just concentrate on hearing, because music is about hearing. So, and why is that? Because in general, we conditioned souls or bodily conscious people function with the most dominant sense of acquiring knowledge, which is the sight. It is explained that 80% scientifically, 80% of sense perceptions that we have, it is acquired through the sense of sight. So it's a dominant sense for acquiring knowledge, for in general for bodies. So we hear the motto of this materialistic thinking that is, seeing is believing. Show me. So basically, by seeing, you can understand. Different that the Vedic wisdom tell us. The Vedic wisdom tell us that we see through hearing. So it's the contrary. Chakshu Shrava is that you hear by seeing. And the Vedic model is you see by hearing. So there's a quote of the Panchatantra that says that knowledge is the true organ of sight, not the eyes. Knowledge is a true organ of sight, not the eyes. So we acquire transcendental knowledge, or the acquisition of transcendental knowledge is based on this process of shravan, or hearing. So hearing becomes the most important element in the acquisition of transcendental knowledge. So much focus is on hearing. And properly hearing instructions. And through that, then you can see. So the capacity of understanding or processing the things that you see is depending on proper knowledge. So someone with transcendental knowledge will see the same thing that a materialistic person sees, but the process is different. You're able to see actual reality. And that is the importance of being able to recognize. That's what we were talking yesterday. When we come in front of the deities, or we hear the holy name, or we see the devotees, or we anything that we do in relationship with the world, that we see it connected to Krishna, then we can understand, we can process the reality in a certain way because of transcendental knowledge. Then we can understand, we can appreciate Krishna's beauty. We can appreciate Krishna's holy places. We can appreciate all this, even while being conditioned by this bodily concept of life. Because with transcendental knowledge, we can actually see. Therefore, we do these prayers. What is it? Omagyana timerandasya gyananjana shalakaya. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. So I'm blinded by this ignorance or avidya. Because of avidya, because of this misconception of self, I cannot see. So how I'm being able to see is that my vision have to be cured. So the way the cure of the soul, the self, or the collirion, that's how the acharyas put it, the collirion, this liquid that you put in your eyes that will actually cure them, is transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my obeisances to my spiritual master who opened my eyes with a torch light, this torch light of knowledge. So knowledge is the means to actually give us vision. So through knowledge we see. But materialistic condition or when we're afflicted by this material concept of life, then without knowledge we naturally count on our eyes to understand and process reality. But it is understood that our senses, that's one of the faults, the four faults of these human bodies, that one of them is our senses are insufficient, are defective. For example, here's an example that is classic. We see in the news a person who is a serial killer. There is this famous serial killer that was very good looking person, attractive. His name was Ted Bundy. He was a very charming fellow, and clean cut. When you see when you think how a serial killer will look, is some terrible looking person, a scary person, or something like that. But this Ted Bundy was,
you know, a very charming, clean-cut, regular person. That if you see him, you think, oh, this is a very, you know, attractive, clean-cut, nice person. That's what our eyes tell us. So then how can we trust, you know, what we see? We need knowledge. So the knowledge tells us, okay, here's a serial killer. And then now we see, oh, a serial killer, like that. So Kaliya was affected by this. So therefore, this Chakshushrava, he cannot listen to good instruction. He cannot see things with the eye of knowledge. He sees, you know, and therefore he cannot see or appreciate Krishna. Without knowledge, you cannot see. You can't understand. You can't be able to appreciate anything spiritual. So, therefore, the association of devotees is most important. And through the association of devotees, to hearing from the devotees, then naturally and gradually our capacity to understand becomes manifested. Any comments or questions? It's like that. It's a short class today. I didn't have much time to prepare for this. So. We okay? Alex.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for class. While you're describing Krishna's beauty, I was just reflecting on the portrait that's given on the book. And in the description at the end, it says that, thus within his mind, Kaliya took shelter of the Lord. Maybe could you describe a little bit more about that, how towards the end that the demon actually became a devotee?
Well, he became purified. Like we talked that about yesterday, that Krishna just basically fully purified him. I mean, think about it. Kaliya actually embraced Krishna with his coils. You know, so just by touching Krishna, you just, but, you know, first you have to go through the whole process of purification. So Krishna just given like extreme mercy. Personally, Krishna personally, you know, purified him, just took all the poison out of Kaliya. And, you know, Kaliya became the pure devotee. It's pretty amazing. So, you know, then the analogy that Srila Prabhupada gave, that the holy name dancing in our tongue, you know, I mean, in the beginning, we're like Kaliya, we're fighting Krishna's, you know, we don't, you know, we're trying to get Krishna out of our head, you know, stomping in our head, you know. So our mind is fighting it. It's just like, no, just Krishna out of my head, you know, it's something else. But Krishna, we chant, you know, there Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you don't have attraction for Krishna, then keep chanting. You don't, you know, you don't want to do anything, you know, just keep chanting. Just keep chanting, keep chanting. You don't feel anything, just keep chanting. Like that. So, and we keep chanting, Krishna keeps stomping, dancing in our tongue, and eventually, you know, we like Kaliya, we're just going to be bow down. Like that.
All right. Thank you so much. Karantara Shimam Bhagavatam Ki Jai. No, he has to do a class. I have to replace someone in the other.